Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Power outages are terrible things. When I lived back east, the power outages always seemed to come on the hottest days. I remember New York, 1977, a huge power outage. And it was so hot and so gross that people actually went crazy. And there was looting in the streets. We lived in a very high crime area of Staten Island, and we actually stood by our screen door looking out and daring anybody to come. When I came to the suburbs of DC, invariably every year there was a power outage, and people would get sick and die. And we see that now this last week. It's been horrible back east. I was looking at the TV yesterday, and a boy in St. Louis, which is in the west, at 8 years old, died from heat. And we've gotten, even in this area, a lot of EMR calls because people can't handle the heat. It's terrible. And power outages can be deadly. They can be inconvenient. They're awful things. And there was a power outage in the story that we read today. This is a story about Jesus coming to his hometown. And he gets up to preach. And rather than the headlines read, "Hometown Boy Makes Good," you know, a famous young man from our village is coming here to preach, he stood up, he spoke. No one had any issue with what he said. They didn't say, "Boy, that was a lousy sermon." They said, "Wow, he has such wisdom." But they were offended because he was not in his place. If he had come up there and talked about carpentry and how to build a nice cabinet, they would have been very well received. But here he was, a handyman, getting up in their pulpit instead of their rabbi and preaching a wonderful message, a message of wisdom. He even performed miracles in front of them. And what did they say? "Isn't that the carpenter? We know his family." They were offended. And there's a verse of scripture that jumps out on this page, and it's very sad. It doesn't say Jesus was angry and wouldn't do anything for these people. It says he could not do any powerful thing. No great work. Because of their unbelief, because they took offense at him. I've never imagined being able to stop God with anything, and yet the power went out. We've been traveling through Mark. He's raised the dead, he's stilled a storm, he gets to his hometown and preach, and everything stops. He could not do any powerful work. It's a very sad statement. Are there times when God cannot do any powerful work in our lives because we take offense, because we will not hear a message, because it's not coming out of the mouth of someone whom we trust and respect? Might be coming from someone that we really don't like, and we will not receive it. And the work of God stops. We've seen this principle in church. We see it in family. We see it in corporations. I often say God did not hatch us. We were born to be in families and communities. And if we do not work together, and if we do not regard each other, no matter what the ideas are and who is saying it, no great work can come of it. That's why when I'm absent from the pulpit, I beg people to come, because they might even hear a message better than the one I'm preaching today. And if we're not here, or if we say, "Well, our own pastor's not here, we can't receive from somebody else." I remember being at a conference where there was a great speaker and he spoke all week and everyone came because of this great speaker, and one day he couldn't be there, so he had a substitute. And I could tell the disappointment on people's faces, and I felt disappointed too because this was such a fine speaker. The man who got up had been given maybe an hour's notice, so I'm sure he pulled an old sermon out and he started to speak. And that was at least 10 to 12 years ago. I remember that man's sermon. I don't remember the great speaker because it was a message from God for that day. How do we stop the Holy Spirit from speaking? How do we stop God's power? It's when we refuse to listen through the voice of somebody he might send, but we don't think is worthy. He could do no great work, a power outage. So how do we keep the power on? We regard other folks. We stop taking offense. You know, if you're looking for an offense in your family, you're going to find it. If you're looking for an offense in your job, somebody's going to insult you and you'll be offended. If you're looking for offense in the church, oh, you'll find it. Probably today. If you look for offenses, you'll be able to find them. Let's stop looking for offenses. We want to be able to have the power of God in our lives. And believe it or not, he works through the oddest of people. I had a man in my last church named Jerry. And I loved Jerry, but I couldn't stand having him on a board. And when I first came to the church, he served on one of my boards. Jerry was an engineer, had a very analytical mind, and he analyzed everything to death. I'm the polar opposite of that. We get in board meetings and my head would start spinning. And even if I carefully put out everything in that board meeting, I'd have my agenda, he would find a way to hijack it. And our meetings would go on sometimes 3 hours. And if he couldn't engage me, he'd find somebody else. And they'd go back and forth and back and forth until I wanted to cry. I hated board meetings. Well, he got off the board and I breathed a sigh of relief. And then a few years later, somebody slipped up and asked him to serve. And he was eager to serve. And I thought, oh, it's not going to happen. I don't know what I'm going to do. But then I said, you know, maybe if I put him in charge. Because once you're in charge of a meeting, you have to make sure it goes smoothly. And so I asked him, I said, Jerry, the only way you're going to be on a board is if you are in charge of the Board of Elders, and you have to run the meetings, and they can only be an hour and a half in length. Well, he took the challenge. He said, yes, I'll do that. He had wonderful meetings, and he was brutal, and he cut them off at an hour and a half. But I paid. Every Monday morning, he would knock on my door and say, Pastor, can we talk? And for an hour, I would sit there and he would parse every sentence and he would talk to me. Now, what I didn't realize is that the work of the church was going beautifully under his leadership. The boards were really working well under his leadership. But every Monday, I paid a price. And so we'd talk and talk and talk until we'd talk something to death. Many years later, he asked me, Pastor, do you know why I came to your office every Monday, and I was tempted to say, to torture me? But I said, no, Jerry, I really don't know why you did that. He said, I wanted to be sure that I understood your vision for this church. And I wanted to be sure that anything you'd bring up in the board meeting, I could back up, and I could work with the board so that that vision would be accomplished. He was smarter than the average bear. I didn't realize that. And when I looked back, I thought, well, is that why the church work went so beautifully under his leadership? This man who drove me insane helped bring the church forward. God is going to put people in our lives who will speak to us, and we're not going to like what they say, but who knows if that's the message that God has for us. Let's not have a power outage in our families. Let's not have a power outage in our jobs, in this church, or in the church you go to. Let's listen for the voice of God, even when it comes through a handyman. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for that word that you gave to Christ that day. And we repent, Lord, when there have been times that we have had power outages because we have not listened to your voice through people that we have not regarded. Help us all to build your kingdom and to let your power loose in this community and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and turn with me to hymn number 739, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind.